Maybe you got the hint by now. The title of the message this morning is going to be The Joy of the Lord. Okay? The Joy of the Lord. And let me tell you a quick story by way of introduction. Went and visited my family this weekend. Seems like every time I'm fixing to preach, I go out of town the weekend before. And I went and seen my sister Wendy and her children. They're close to the Mall of Georgia. Had a good time of fellowship with them over the weekend. And so I've been having this thought on my mind, the joy of the Lord. And so finally, late last night, I've already got my message, but I'm just kind of fine-tuning it. And the one thing that was lacking, I just couldn't find, was, Lord, how do you want me to introduce this sermon? How can I introduce this sermon? So I said, well, I'm just going to get up in the morning. I'm going to sleep on it. Amen. Y'all ever done that? Sleep on it. See what you can come up with in the morning. So the morning comes around. I had set my alarm clock for 6:30. I said, that's going to be just enough time to get that good introduction. So the Lord had a different thing in mind. 6:30 came around and I was still in the bed. And finally woke up and I realized it was light outside. A little bit too light. Look at the clock and it's 8:02. 8:02. And I'm thinking, good Lord. And I don't live on Jackson Lake Road, for those of y'all who don't know. I live over there by the Walmart in Conyers. Okay? I still got here, you know, about 8:40. But you talking about having the joy of the Lord this morning. You know, my shirt. I figure I got to tell this story because the second time you tell a late story, you just got poor time management. The first time, it's a pretty good story, right? But anyways, what happens, everything has to go. I decide what's important. A tie wasn't important. But luckily, you know, my car is also my laundromat at times. I had a tie stash back there. The one thing I did forget was my cell phone. I said, well, if something does happen, at least I could call him. And I was just hoping Brother Justin wasn't going to get behind me this morning. I'm glad to see him in church this morning. Amen. But, and I had the dog that needed to get let out. And he was like, what is going on? You know, I just got this new dog. If y'all hadn't heard, he was a stray that I picked up. And man, this dog just is attached to me. And man, every time you see him, every time I come home, that dog will leap, you know, about that high in the air. He's just so excited to see you. And, that's how we should be when we get in God's presence. Amen. There should be joy in the Lord. Amen. But anyways, everything had to go, but God was good, and I was just thankful that I go to a country church. You know, a country mile was different, isn't it? A country 8:30 is different, apparently, because everybody was like, you know, I seen Miss Marshall when I came in. She was like, oh, we're still fellowshipping in. I don't think nobody even knew except Boy back there. He was thinking, you know, I'm going to have to. But anyways, so true is the joy of the Lord. Things in our life are going to weigh us down. Things are not going to go perfect. Okay? You're going to happen. And what we're finding out, what we can expect, is oftentimes two different things, isn't it? And because of that, we need, the Bible says again that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay? And I think about, when God says that, what strength to do what? Okay, strength to do what? I think about Jesus in the book of Hebrews, where the Bible says that God Himself was motivated by joy. That for the joy that was set before Him, what was He able to do? He despised the shame. And forever is set at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what joy can do. Even God Himself was motivated, was moved. It didn't say by love in this passage. It says that the strength that Jesus had, what was set before Jesus, was the joy of knowing that one day his work, his sacrifice, would equate to you and me being eternally in his presence. That's joy to Jesus. That's joy to Jesus. So the first point this morning, and what I basically did, this is kind of a topical message on joy. I just kind of picked out some key passages in the New Testament where joy is mentioned. And the first thing that when you go looking for joy, and that's part of this morning, listen, I can't give you joy. Okay? This message can't give you joy. You yourself are going to have to find joy. Okay? First thing is, number one, if you're taking notes, joy must be found. And we find that in the Gospels, don't we? That Jesus was found by the shepherds and by the wise men. And write this down if you want to. Find Jesus equals find joy. Find Jesus equals find joy. Those who find Jesus find joy. Okay? And I think about the passage in Luke chapter 2 where the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. That's the story of Jesus coming. Jesus, the baby, coming to earth, lying in a manger. And the Bible also says in another passage that the wise men seen the star and rejoiced. They were full of joy. Okay? Knowing that, man, this is going to lead us to Jesus. Okay? So the first thing, joy must be found. And I started thinking last night about some of the greatest joys that we found on this earth. And some of them come from discovery, don't they? Maybe y'all want to help me out. What's something do you think, as y'all are scanning your brain, what is one of the discoveries that has brought the most joy to this world? Some kind of invention, some type of something that has brought joy to people. What comes to your mind? What would be at the top of your list? Anybody have anything? Huh? Electricity. Praise the Lord for that. Electricity brings joy. Okay? What's another thing that brings joy to us? All right. Having that running water. If you think about it, joy comes a lot of times through knowledge. Maybe it's a cure. I think of some of the cures like, penicillin? Is that what we take to cure us of a lot of these ailments that we have and medicine-type cures? And then there's things that we didn't know when we did discover things in outer space that we didn't realize were there. Truth, coming to truth, all those things bring joy. But then I think about Jesus, the fact that He has come. And the Bible says, "Behold, I bring good things are going to happen of great joy, which shall be to all people." And I'm wondering, what kind of joy does Jesus bring? What kind of joy is Jesus bringing in your heart? And this week, I just felt led to... Sometimes I like to listen to some old preaching. I was listening to an old evangelist. Man, it was powerful to hear his testimony. Y'all, anybody familiar with Dr. Carl Hatch? Anybody know that name? Dr. Carl Hatch. Anyways, he was an old-time evangelist, independent Baptist preacher. And he used to come to my church when I was a kid. And I used to call him Crime Dog McGruff because y'all remember Crime Dog McGruff? What did he say? Take a bite out of crime? It probably inspired Justin to be a player. He probably knows this right here. But anyways, Crime Dog, he used to wear that, a detective coat and all. And he turns, they take a bite out of crime. Well, anyways, this guy kind of looked like Crime Dog McGruff, and he wore his little jacket, and he'd have his stand set up, and he'd be giving out tracts. And he'd say stuff like, "I ain't never seen anybody get saved from car keys. And I ain't never seen anybody get saved from a wallet." Said, "I seen a lot of people get saved from a tract, though, you know." And man, this guy had a testimony. Had an awesome testimony of just about had to drag him to church to get him saved. Basically, he was an alcoholic. He hated God. He tried to kill a preacher one time. He wanted to kill a preacher anyways, and was thinking about taking his wife's life. He said he'd committed every sin but murder, and he was determined to kill his wife when he got home one night. But God had other plans and had saved him. And he went back to work with this joy that he had at the Buick Company, and he led 250 people to the Lord at the place where he worked. Just amazing testimony. And just hearing some of the testimonies of the power of God in him, we just don't talk about soul winning that much anymore. Not just in our church, but any all around. I mean, if y'all seen the Christian Index, this message isn't about, as I think about Jesus and I think about the joy he brings. You guys, there's people that need to hear what we have to say. And the only difference between me and Dr. Carl Hatch, I think, is our joy and our passion for God. He had, and let me tell you this, the guy couldn't read. He said he couldn't read for years. The only verse he knew was Romans 10:13. He said 250 people got saved off of Romans 10:13. And he said he'd go and he'd track down each of his family members. He said some of them, I'd save my money and I'd get on a bus and I'd go see them. He said some of them it cost me $6 a head. Some of them it cost me $8 a head. But everybody in my family, every blood relative in my family is saved. And that's the joy that he had in the Lord. Amen? And you guys, what I'm trying to say this morning is find Jesus, find joy. Listen, some of us have different abilities and knowledge of God. But I think about some of the Iwana kids that are sitting here this morning. If you know one verse, if you know Romans 3:23, if you know Romans 10:13, if you know some of this, you guys, we can spread joy to other people. And find Jesus, find joy. I think about the passage in the Bible. What does it say? That there is what in heaven over one sinner that comes to repent? There's joy in heaven, in the presence of the angels, in the presence of God. Not only is God motivated by joy, but also, man, when people get saved, that brings joy to God. Amen? Brings joy to us. And I start thinking about when is the last time, and I have to say personally, the last time that I one-on-one led somebody to the Lord. It's been a long time. I don't know how everybody else is in here, but the last time I one-on-one led somebody, I'm just confessing. Last time I, you know, had that opportunity or took that opportunity, made that opportunity, that's the point. Man, the joy that comes. How strong are you this morning? Do you have the joy? Do you have enough joy to be willing to share your faith this morning? That's the kind of joy I want. I want the kind of joy where everywhere I go, I just want to talk about it. I just want to share it. That's the joy of the Lord. Okay? Find Jesus, find joy. But not only that, here are some things that might be robbing us of joy. I think about the passage in the Bible that talks about the talents. And y'all know the story of the talents. One wasted their talent, and one used their talent and multiplied it for God. Some of us in here don't have joy because we're not using our talents for God. We're not using the things that God has given us to serve Him. Okay? The Bible says, you know what He says? "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." Listen, there's a joy waiting for us those who serve the Lord, those who know God personally. But there's joy in knowing that you were a part of it, isn't there? Man, knowing that you didn't just come empty-handed, but that you came bringing in the sheaves, bringing in people with you. You can't take anything to heaven except people. You can take people with you. Everything else in this room won't be in heaven, but people will be. Amen. So here's my question. Does using your talents for God, is that bringing you joy? Is the devil got in there and trying to steal your joy and serving him? That happens. Especially in some of us in here who've been doing the same role, the same job for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Some of us could probably say 30 years, maybe serving in this church. And I thought about, you know, Satan is trying to rob us, you guys. Listen, if he can just take our strength, the only difference between some churches and other churches is the joy they have in the Lord. They're so excited about him. They're so excited to see others come to him. They're so excited to use their talents for God. Man, God will bless it, you guys. We've got to get our joy back. You know, when we come to service, our pastor has the joy of the Lord. He has the joy of the Lord. He's somebody that's why he's able to do what he does, is his joy level. And I'm just wondering if sometimes when he comes here and preaches to us and we're, you know, not in tuned or not ready, you know, not prepared to hear what maybe God has for us that day, if we don't take a little joy from him. You ever thought about that? I can tell you there's nothing more discouraging when you preach if you feel like people aren't, you know, totally engaged, people aren't prepared, people, you know, you get used to hearing somebody. I mean, if y'all had to hear anybody every week, it gets tough listening to anybody preach every week. I don't care just about who you are. But we need to make sure that we are bringing joy to church when we come to church with us. If that means you need to get up a little bit earlier and pray, prepare your heart, if that means you need to, you know, go to bed a little bit earlier, or whatever we got to do. But man, this place needs to be a place of joy. Because there's people that's coming in here. There's visitors that are coming in here. I don't know that we have any first-time visitors here this morning, so this is the home crowd. But man, people need to see the joy of the Lord on our faces. And that's why we have the praise band. That's why they sing. And I throw them in there too, that, you know, when we're singing and we're glorifying the Lord, that brings joy. That brings joy to him. And man, I want this place to be a place of joy. And there is scattered around this building. We do have, you know, I love to see the smile on Miss Carol Kerr's face sometimes when she's, you know, you get a glance of Miss Kerr's and some of the others in here, man, they have the joy of the Lord. Miss Katie and the teens and different people who have the joy of the Lord and what they're doing. And man, if we all just have that in each and every area, that we have our talent that we can give to God. And man, what joy we can have knowing that we're using it for God. Praise band, man, what an awesome thing to be able to use your talent for God, to bring joy to God through playing your instruments, through lifting your voice up to him. What an awesome thing to be able to do. So joy comes through being able to use your talents for God. Maybe that's why you don't have joy right now. Maybe you're sitting on the bench and you're not really actively involved here at our church and you've lost your joy. It can happen. Not only does joy come through using our talents for God, but I think about the passage in John where Jesus talks about the branches. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And, you know, God has created us for a purpose to produce fruit. Okay? He's created you to grow. And the reason why some of us have lost our joy is because we're not as close to God as we used to be. I think about David who said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation," in his great confession. Unconfessed sin, Things get in the way, you guys, of our relationship to God. And nothing more than unconfessed sin and not abiding close to the vine. Or abiding close to Him. That we begin to lose our joy. You know, when you first become a Christian, you're so excited. When you realize that your sin has left you, that you're free to serve the Lord, and you just feel like there's nothing but bliss before you. But then you start realizing the weight of the world is still upon you. That there's still so much you have to do. But listen, we've got to abide. We've got to stay close to Him. We've got to obey Him. He says, what does Jesus say in this passage? I tell you these things so that your joy may be full. Stay close. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. Stay close to Him. Maybe it's not because you're not using your talents. It's because you're not growing. A growing Christian is a Christian that has joy. So maybe God has stolen your joy. I mean, not God, but maybe something has stolen your joy because you're not growing. You're not obeying Him. Another thing that steals your joy is maybe it's in your accounting. Maybe it's in your perception of life. Y'all know the passage in James where it says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Maybe it's we're not using our talents for God. Maybe it's we're not growing in the Lord. But also it can just be life itself that takes your joy. The way you perceive the things that are happening to you. Man, that can rob your joy. Some of us had different goals at this stage of your life. Some of you thought you was going to be top dog by now. Some of the teenagers and kids, maybe you thought you was going to be the best at, you know, the particular sport you play by now. Or you thought that all your family would be saved by now. That you'd all be in church by now. That, you know, you'd have enough money in retirement by now. But then you look around and you see that it's not exactly what you wanted it to be. But the Bible says to count it all joy when we go through things that are trying us and testing us, knowing that God is now working in us, developing patience, developing character, developing, molding us and making us into a different type of person. Sometimes it can just be in an accounting issue, the way you perceive things. I know when I do my taxes, sometimes I go in there thinking, man, I'm in a mess, and come out ahead. Come out, hey, I've got some money back here. And it's all because it's what's in my mind. But if you give it, see, find somebody that can do math, right? Find somebody that can do some math. And you give it to the Lord. You know, I look at my life sometimes, y'all, I'm going to admit, sometimes I get discouraged. You know, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I'm thinking, man, I thought I'd be pastoring some church, big church by now, or, you know, be married by now, or, you know, just be in tip-top shape by now, and, you know, be maybe doing better on my job, or, you know. But then, you know, you give your life to Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. Let Him look at it, you know, and say, man, if I stood before God today, at least I can say I've been serving Him 15 years, serving Him faithfully for 15 years. Let's see what that looks like in heaven. Amen. Let's see what God says about that in heaven. You know, don't look like I've accomplished a whole lot here on earth. You know, especially to those who are maybe deemed successful. You know, but I have to be strengthened to know that it's not what other people see about me. It's that I'm trying to serve the Lord, and that I'm trying to, you know, I'm thinking about that eternal value, trusting in that. And I think about Jesus, man. If people looked at Jesus, he did not look very successful, did he? He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have probably a dollar to his name, other than, you know, what was collected here and there, but not really. I mean, he didn't, you know, he could go bankrupt. Of course, it's nice to be able to make, you know, do miracles. That always helps you in that situation. I wish I could do miracles. I wouldn't worry about being broke if I could do a couple miracles. Amen. But anyways, Jesus didn't look very successful. But man, what was said at his baptism? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You know, God the Father was proud of Jesus. He was proud of the life that he lived. He hadn't at this point really even done his ministry. Amen? He was just proud of his Son. He was proud of the life that Jesus was living, that he, at that moment, was obedient to the Father. And that brings joy to me, knowing that, you know what, at this moment, can God say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. It's not in our success, you guys. It's in the way we account for our life. Maybe you don't make a lot of money. Maybe you don't have the things you thought you should have right now. But what does God have to say about you? You know, I think about the person that was playing the piano, and help me out, Joy. Where would I play a piano in front of a lot of people? What would be a good place to do that? Church. All right, I was thinking even something, you know, but church. We'll go with church. So, anyways, Wyatt's not here. What is it called? A recital. We'll say it's a recital. But anyways, he's playing the recital, and he gets done, and everybody is clapping. Everybody's clapping. Everybody's excited. But yet the young man is discouraged. He puts his head down, and he walks off the stage. And people come back, and they want him to come out and do an encore. You know, they want him to come out. Isn't that what that's called? They want him to come out and take a bow again. They were so impressed with what this young man was saying. And somebody finally came up to him and asked him, said, man, why aren't you excited? Why aren't you encouraged? He said, you don't understand. They said, look, everybody's standing. Everybody's rejoicing. Everybody's happy. He said, not everybody's standing. Not everybody's rejoicing. He said, my teacher is not standing. My teacher is not clapping. Apparently, he had made a lot of mistakes. Apparently, he had not done what others thought he had done. And how true is that in our own lives? People can, man, you got a new raise. You got a new job. You got some great things going on in your life. Wow, you got that nice new house. Man, what's God think about all this? What's God have to say about all this? Is God standing? Is God clapping at your life? Or is God thinking about some of the things that he has for you to do? Is God thinking about some of the people that we need to be sharing? Is God thinking about maybe we need to be back in the church serving the Lord, doing something great for God? Is God clapping? I mean, listen, we got to be careful who has our ears. Amen? We got to be careful who has our ears. Joy comes from the Lord, and serving him and being right with him. And the last thing, we'll close with this one, this last point. I think about the passage in 1 John where he says, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have laid hands on, we declare unto you. Why do we do this? So that your joy may be full. So that your joy may be full. Listen, you guys. The reason why some of us don't have joy is because some of us aren't sharing the joy that we do have. Amen. Joy is contagious. And I love to hear my mom's, some of her stories. I'll call her. And she's just the soul winner up there. If y'all didn't know, man, she's just, as soon as somebody comes into the home, she works at a personal care home. And as soon as they come in, she's thinking, how can they get saved? And right now she's got one she's brought me in on. I'm a consultant on one of them, I guess you'd say. So I got a tough one, Josh. He's some kind of former scientist or something. And he says all Christians are ignorant. You know, what can we do here? And then mom's so crafty. She come up to him the other day, and this guy's son had, or daughter just left, and she was like, the mean father was like, she's such an idiot too. And mom's like, now how could she is kin to you now. You are intelligent, and how could she possibly, not be intelligent as well, right? And he just thought that was hilarious. You know, he laughed and laughed. And so I told her to give him a book entitled Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And it's a book that talks about, and I told her to tell him this, that, you know, if you're a true intellect and you were to become a Christian, maybe you'd be like C.S. Lewis. You know, C.S. Lewis was one of the most intelligent men of the last century. And he was a former atheist. So right now he's taking notes and trying to tear this book apart and, you know, reading it and stuff. But man, she's won countless people to the Lord. I think 13 or more easily there, one-on-one, you know, taking care of them, praying for them. Man, it works. It don't matter who you are. Love works. And I love to hear her stories of joy, what happened at the home, or, you know, hear my brother call and tell me what's going on up there in Tekoa. Hearing about, man, I stopped on the side of the road yesterday. I was a bum walking down the road, and, you know, he always waves at me, I wave at him, and I finally stopped and talked to him. He knew who I was. He knew my name. He said, man, that'll make you think. You think these people don't know who you are? He said, they know who you are. They see you ride by. They know what kind of truck you drive. They know where you live. A lot of them do. And it's not until we stop and begin to talk to people that we realize, man, these people know more than we think they know. They're more aware of things than we think they are. And they're in need of the Lord. I love to hear stories of joy. And man, you've got a story. I've got a story. We need to start sharing our story. Our story brings joy. John had an awesome story. Man, I don't just love Jesus. Man, I sat with Jesus. I followed Jesus. He was my friend. He called me his beloved disciple. And it's true, man. The things that you're hearing, the preaching that's going on, it's true about Jesus. We've touched him. We've laid hands. We've seen the miraculous works. And we tell you it's true. And we tell you so your joy can be as ours, so it can be full. Man, let's get back to testifying about his great love in our life. Man, he saved you. He's changed you. Tell somebody about it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, you guys. And we come to church to share that joy, to hear about it in the lives of other people. Tonight we're going to be hearing from the children's home, and we're going to be hearing about some of these kids that don't have a family and have been taken in because of the funds that we have given in other churches. And the joy that is on these kids' life now. Man, the joy. There's joy, there's joy, there's joy in serving the Lord. As Brother Boyd.